Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So welcome Christina M., a compulsive overeater from New York.
Hey everyone. Yes, I'm Christina M from New York, and I just got back from vacation yesterday, so I'm a little bit tired, but I am here. I'm glad to be with everyone. And I just want to say thank you to Pat for asking me to speak. And I use the word recovered, and I use that because I have found a spiritual solution. It took me a while, which you'll hear in my story. I have not had My big thing is sugar. I've not had that in 7 years. And I have been in program for, I always forget, I always say I've been in program for 7 years, but it's not true. I've been in program for 12. So I'll tell you a little bit where I started. My therapist is actually the person that told me to go to Overeaters Anonymous, and she happens to be in the program as well, and she's been in the program for like 30 years. So I didn't think I had any issue with food, and I didn't think I was an addict, and the whole story. And I kind of thought she just wanted me to be in her club, right? So I, ignored it for a while, and then here and my food got out of control, and then I could control it again. So it was kind of like that, back and forth, pulling kind of a thing. And then, as we all know, right, that our disease is progressive. So it, kind of went wild, and then I took things seriously. So, the reason I say that it took me 5 years, the first time I went into one of the rooms, I think I started with a phone meeting because I didn't want anyone to see me that I knew, which now I can laugh about, but at the time I was scared, right? I didn't want anyone to know that I was an addict or that I had a problem because I didn't want to face that. I had gone to some meetings. I stopped going. I stopped eating a little bit. I'd eat more. And literally 5 years, because I was looking at a date in my big book, the dates of when I actually started. I found Vision for You at the time, and I listened to that. But the real problem was that I came to the meetings, the phone meetings, the in-person meetings, just looking at the differences between myself and everyone else. And now I can go to a meeting and anyone that speaks, there's something that I have in common with. So that really held me back. And I'm a nurse, so I was like, I don't want to be an addict because like those were the patients I didn't like because they kept coming back. They never got better, right? And I dealt with mostly alcoholics, but any addiction. And I didn't want to be a part of that. So PS, I w was in and out of the rooms. I don't even know if you can call it relapse because I don't think that I was ever like really in program or re really did anything. And then about 7 years ago, we had a party at work, and of course I brought the stuff that I'm not supposed to eat, sugar. And I said to myself, all right, I'm not going to have it. I'm just going to bring it to the party. So of course I ate some of it on the drive to work, and then I ate a ton of it during our get together, our meeting. It was right after Valent. It was around Valentine's Day, and then I had gone out, to do whatever work I had to do, and I came back and I like got a whole bunch more stuff. I ate more, got a whole bunch more, and I said I was going to take it home to my family, which of course that was never going to happen, and that was not my intent. My intent was to eat it in the car on the way home. And I have to say that scared the crap out of me, because it was so out of control. And I don't really like to talk about weight, but I lost about 40 pounds. So if anybody's sitting here like thinking, I have a lot more than that to lose, like don't even think about that. Just listen to the story, because the story, my experience was nothing short of a miracle. And I never thought I'd be sitting here. I never thought I'd be in a program. And I came into the rooms to stop eating because my eating was compulsive. And I found out like that was not even my problem, right? The food, we think the food's our problem, but it's really not. Like we're gonna get abstinent, right? But that's not the point of the big book, right? And I love the name of the meeting, like there is a solution, because the big book tells us, I actually looked it up 27 times in the big book. It tells us, in my edition, that's the fourth, it tells us that we can be recovered. So that's kind of cool. It's not saying like if you try, if you do this, you know, it's saying if you follow the directions in the big book, you can be recovered. And as we know, there's so many, I think it was a, we started with 100 people that became recovered, and as the story goes, there's, I don't even know, probably millions of us. You know, when I first, so when I went back, I wound up going to an in-person meeting, and I have a history of childhood trauma. And the first meeting that I went to, somebody stood up, because at that time we stood up in front of the room. Somebody stood up in front of the room and like shared that. And I went back to my therapist. I'm like, well, I don't even understand that. Like, I don't know anyone that happened to besides me. And she's like, these are people that are in recovery and they want to get better. So they're going to be honest and vulnerable. And I was like, oh, so I feel like that was like a little piece that like God showed me and just kind of pulled me in a little bit. Like, you know, there's help for you no matter what it is, right? And one of the big reasons why I took 5 years to actually, I feel like I took 5 years to take step one. I don't know. But one of the really big reasons was I didn't want any of this God stuff. You know, I didn't trust anyone, so there's no way I was trusting a God, which, you know, this entity that I didn't even know what it was, or I could see it, or, you know, and I had been exposed to the big book at, I think at my first meeting. And I was like, I don't even understand this. And I want to know part of it. And that's why it just took me so long to actually do the program. So if anybody's listening, any newcomers, don't wait that long. You know, we don't need to. We don't have to understand everything. So anyway, so I got my first sponsor at that meeting. She had read something in the big book and I thought it was interesting. And then I talked to her after the meeting and she said, oh, I can sponsor you. So I had a sponsor. And the way I originally did this program, and I'm just sharing my experience, people do things differently. The way I originally did it was through the big book, OA workbook. And I did it. It took me a while to do the steps. But looking back, I missed a lot of stuff. So now, you know, I just went through the big book again with a big book sponsor, about, it's been a little over a year now. And for me, that's the way I sponsor now. I do everything through the big book because I feel like that was the thing that really, really changed my life and made the difference. So I start out in that room, and then I'm with the sponsor for, I don't know, maybe like 6 months or so. And something in me knew, like the people that got up in front of the room at that meeting, they never talked about food and they never talked about their weight, but they did talk about their God, their higher power, whatever they called it at the time. And from like that, those first few meetings, like I knew, I'm like, that's the key to all of this. But I wasn't ready for any of that because that's just not where I was. But then I think I was with the sponsor, I don't know, 8 months or something like that. And then I realized that she didn't have the spiritual solution. Like she didn't get to that piece. And that's what I was looking for. So then I started to look for another sponsor that had, you know, the spiritual solution that this experience that I wanted. And then I found someone that was really like spiritual, but she didn't answer my phone calls. So that didn't work. And then I found another one and she was really good. And I was doing the program, you know, lost my weight, was abstinent, and was sponsoring people. And at that time, I was sponsoring, you know, through the workbook. And then about, I think it was like maybe 2.5 years ago or 3 years ago, I was like, I said to one of my friends, I'm like, there's something missing in my program. I can't figure out, like, I feel like there's something missing. I don't know what it is. And I didn't know. And then I went to a convention in New Hampshire two years ago. And I heard one of the keynote speakers, and she kept talking about being recovered. And she was up there, like, you know, laughing and fun. And she was just so outgoing. And she talked about big book sponsoring. So one of the girls that I was with had asked her to sponsor her. So I found out about all these meetings that have a lot of recovered people, started going to that. And I was still really curious. So I asked one of the women, you know, what does that mean to you? Like, what does it mean to be recovered, to be big book sponsored? And she said, you know, I was just praying for two new sponsees. And she says, I'll walk you through it. So I did that. And I have to say, so the piece that was missing is that I never surrendered to God. Like, and here I am. I was 6 years of not having sugar, but I was not in a recovered place. I was not like emotionally abstinent, right? And I mean, I used food to, I don't know if anybody relates, but like the way I use food is really to punish myself. And for me, it was sugar and carb foods, but not like, you know, I'm not eating a lot of chicken cutlets. That's just not my thing. I'll eat like five cakes, you know. But you know, sometimes when I would eat, it's almost like taking like a sword and like jamming it down my throat. And that's how bad this addiction was for me. That's how I wanted to hurt myself. And you know, and not only that, but in life, I was just miserable. Like, you know, talk about a spiritual disconnect and kind of being like, you know, hollow inside or dark. That was my experience. So anyway, I find this big book sponsor, and the biggest thing for me in those 6 years, I'm going to back up a little bit, is this relationship with God, because I didn't want it. I didn't trust anybody or anything. So, but little by little, I started trying to figure out, like, how am I going to find this God or this higher power? I started out calling it higher power. And I would just, you know, when I'm at the beach and stuff, I would look at the ocean and the waves. I'm like, all right, there's got to be something that's doing all this, right? Like the sun, how's the sun setting and all these things. So little by little, I just kind of looked at the things around me and thought, okay, there's something greater than myself. And I still don't think I was willing to believe that there was something that was going to help me or that was there for me or that was a safe place. So that really came when I started working with a big book sponsor. And I just want to read you this thing on page 55. Like, one of my favorite parts of the big book is this little paragraph. Hold on 1 second. And it says, actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God that may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship, or other things, but in some form or other, it is there. And to me, like, that just, when I, the first time I ever read that, I'm like, that blew my mind, because I always felt like there was something inside of me. And I kind of describe it as like a little flicker of light that was there, but it was like so dimmed down that I wasn't feeling it. But I knew something was there. And I feel like through program and through working with, you know, sponsors and sponsees and going to meetings and stuff, that little light, I feel like the light from other people that were recovered helped relight mine, I guess, you know? So, and to me, that's, I don't know. I find, to me, that's for me, the best little paragraph. I mean, there's a ton of them, obviously, but for me, that was the best paragraph that really truly hit me, that there was something inside there. And all my life, I was searching for everything on the outside, and you know, we can do that forever, and it's not, you know, there's nothing outside of us. It's God. When we finally find God, or whatever you want to call, you know, your higher power. You know, and then the big book tells us, like, these clear cut directions, and it tells us it's not the point of becoming recovered. It's the point of finding this power greater than ourselves, that's going to take us out of the addiction, and that we have to just continue to do the work. I've been in program, like I said, I've been abstinent for 7 years, but I still do a lot of work. And then so the A year and a half ago, when I started working with the big book sponsor, she had said to me, "I'll help you, but you need to do these certain things." And I'm like, "Okay, like, what are these non-negotiable certain things?" And for her, it was a 30-minute prayer and meditation in the morning, which I was not doing, which was really, really helpful. And that is another thing that really changed my program, just spending that time. And my prayer and meditation looks very different now than it did then, just because I was not as connected, and now I am. A meeting every day. And now I don't do as many. Now I probably do 3 to 4 a week. You know, sometimes less if there's something going on. And if there's something going on that I know I need more meetings, I'll go to more meetings. 3 phone calls a day, which was, to me, I think, the hardest part. Doing an act of self-sacrifice every single day. And I feel like that's another one of the really big things that kind of blew open my program because I was so selfish. And the big book talks about that's one of the biggest things for addicts, right? The selfish piece. And I didn't know what to do. I'm like, how, well, what do I do? How do I help people? And it's just like doing little things. Like even if you're like out walking and you pick a piece of garbage up, just simple little things and to concentrate on doing something every single day. And honesty was another one of the things that she said that, she would not work with me unless I was honest, fully honest. And it's not even being honest with your sponsor because, the honesty is with ourselves because we can tell our sponsors all kinds of stories and, say we're not eating these foods and we are, but it's really, down deep, it's ourselves and being honest. And if we're dishonest, then our God or our higher power is not going to be connected with us. So, I found that, a really, important thing as well. And another thing, one of the other things is weighing and measuring food. Now that might not be for everybody. I did it just because I wanted to work with this person. And honestly, I still do. Because I felt like once I did that, I used to weigh and measure some things, but once I really did every single thing, because I was like, "Do you want me to weigh and measure like vegetables and salad?" And she goes, "Yeah, everything." So I started doing it, and I felt like the minute that I did that it's that the craziness kind of lifted off of me a little bit, and it left my brain a little clearer to continue doing some of the work. So I still do all the things that I was asked to do, and I think about it, I'm like, I don't know if I was ready to do that 12 years ago. I don't know if I would have done that. So I do feel like we're put in the right place at the right time. And I do feel like the right people come into our lives. I've had, I think, four sponsors, and each one of them helped me in a different way. So I just wanted to walk through a little bit like the steps, what the steps have done for me, in the program. And so step one, like I said, I think it took me like 5 years to actually figure that out. Because I didn't, for me, the word powerless was scary because of my history. So I didn't want to be powerless. But powerless doesn't mean that we're helpless, right? It just means that for me, I didn't have power over those certain foods that made me a crazy person. And my life was unmanageable, but I think it was manageable enough. Like I had a job, I had a family, and manageable enough not to, I guess, think that everything was, bad and I needed a program. So I think when I really, I feel like step one is something that I do every day too, just to be focused and that I know I need to do this work every single day because if I don't, and if I just kind of let go, things are just going to unravel and I'm going to be back in the same boat that I was, a while back. And then I shared a little bit about coming to believe in that power. And as I said, I didn't use the word God first. I didn't use a word at first. Then I used higher power. And then I used the word God. And honestly, I don't think it matters what word we use. It's just that I know that there's something out there. And for me, the way I describe my God is just like a loving warmth around me that's going to support me and, and give me the things that I need that my God thinks I need at the time that I need them. So, and making the third step, making that decision, and that's the one that I really didn't do, I don't think, the first time around. I don't think I ever really like surrendered and gave my will over. I think I was in self-will a lot. So the way I did the step three this time actually was very different. And it was reading in the big book, I think it's page 60, 61, right around there, where we read about the actor, how we behave as how we behave as the director in the play, and we want everything like our way. And I had to read that to three different people. And then I did the third step prayer with my sponsor on my knees. And there was something about that. It was very different than the first. I think the first time I just said, oh, okay, I did step three, and I didn't. So I just feel like just that deep, that deep understanding of this is the time like that I need to surrender, that I have no control over anything. And that's one of my biggest character defects, the whole control thing. And it was hard. And I have to say, I still struggle with control, especially with my daughter. I have kids and, I don't know if parents out there relate, but it was hard, like trusting that they have a higher power or God that's going to take care of them, And then I got to the point like, okay, I can trust that, But then I'm like, wait, what does take care of them mean? Because it doesn't mean that everything's going to be good. Everything's going to turn out okay. I don't know. So I have a little prayer that my big book sponsor gave me. If anybody's interested, you can text me. And it was just a beautiful prayer for my children of handing it, handing them over to God, and that God's going to do a better job managing their lives than I am. And then of course, our step four, right? I'm just grateful that I had an opportunity to do step four and to do the work. And I had done it originally. So when I went through it for the second time, I didn't have a lot left. But the interesting thing was I never did a fear inventory. And I lived in fear and anxiety like my entire life. And I'm like, how did I not do a fear inventory? So if you're new or coming back, don't skip any parts of this step four because they're so important. And so I did this fear inventory and I learned how to break it down, like, the same way we do resentments. And whenever, most of the time when I have a resentment, it's related to fear, but I took it and I broke it down and I looked at like, what is my dishonest thinking in this fear stuff? And then asking God, like, how do you want me to show up in this with the fear? And I have to say that my fear has really decreased and, been replaced by faith, which, and as I said, not always. And I'm human, so I fall into all the things, all my character defects, they can come up again. But I have the tools now and I recognize that I'm doing this and I can talk to other people in program and I get, I get help from other people and I always connect with God whenever that I have big decisions or anything going on with that. And then step five, admitting that to another person. Like I feel like, okay, we can admit it to ourselves, but that's nothing, And then God, I was like, that's really nothing either, because God already knows what I did. But to talk to this, and actually this time I went around, there was one thing I'd never told anybody. And I shared it and I felt so bad. I'm like, what a horrible person I am. And most of the time, we have sponsors that'll say to us, we've done that, or I've heard that. And, did we do bad things? Yeah, we did bad things, hurtful things. Yeah. But the beauty of all of this is that, we get forgiven. And I struggled with that too, with accepting that people have forgiven me or accepting that God has forgiven me. And then I was actually told that that was pride if I didn't, if I continued just to sit in my own stuff and say, I'm bad, I'm this. So that was helpful for me to look at. And then our character defects. I think I was just this time around really, really ready to look at them because it felt good to me this time. Like I think the first time around doesn't feel so good because, we're like, we did these things. And I have to say the first time when I did the steps, I struggled with this step because I didn't recognize myself once I started changing. And I was afraid because these character defects, they're what kept me going. That's what kept me safe. And now they're not. They're just, for me, the character defects are just ways that I coped with things. And it was not a good way. And I went to a convention actually in Jersey not long ago, and there was an AA speaker as the keynote, and he said, like when you do the work on six and mainly six, that just to start acting like God has already removed them. And I was like, oh, I really like that because a lot of times we're like, what do we do? And also the first time I did this program, I thought that I removed my character defects. Like I didn't realize that I didn't have that power. And now I recognize like, no, this is God helping me. This is God getting me out of my crazy stuff. And when I worked through this step, it was also, looking at my defects and whatever it was, I think it was I picked the top four. And every night I went to bed and I said, dear God, please, please, help me help remove these character defects. And then I would ask God to replace it with the opposite. So that's six and seven. And then eight was a rough one for me. Eight and nine, I had a lot of amends to make, because I was not a good person. I was selfish, and I'm a nurse. I'm like, I don't think I'm selfish, but I was selfish, like in a different way. Maybe not with my patients and what I gave to other people, but I was not nice to my family. I was selfish. Everything was about me. And I remember my daughter, I had asked my son one day, it was his birthday. And I'm like, all right, where do you want to go? And my daughter's like, don't even bother answering because she's going to pick the place. And I was like, oh my. So that like stuff like that, like really hit me. I'm like, wow, I never recognized like how my behavior affected people. And I remember when I made an amend to my husband, he's like, you've never apologized in 30 years. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. Because I didn't know that. I didn't know what apology was. I grew up in a household that nobody apologized. Nobody took things, and corrected them. So, and that's like the beautiful part of this program of like that we can fix things. And I can say without this program, there's no way I would have a relationship with my kids, especially my daughter. I made amends, and it was really scary. But I knew I had to. I think it took me a while, to actually do them. I wrote down who I was going to do, and then I kind of waited, and my sponsor's like, get on that and start moving. And then my daughter was the biggest one, and I remember I was sitting outside one morning. It was summer here in New York, and I was sitting outside having my tea, and I think I was actually doing some OA work, and my daughter came outside, and I was thinking about this amend I have to make, and my daughter came outside, and I'm like, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. She was a teenager at the time. They don't wake up that early, and she didn't want to be around me. So I was like, why did she come out? And I was like, to me, that was like the sign of like, okay, you are making the amend right now. And I just started saying, what I was making my amends for. And the first thing my daughter said to me, she's like, it's okay. And I'm like, no, it's not okay. And so this is like, I feel like this program is such a miracle because it, like we talk, like I said, the food's not the important piece. This is like life changing. And I have to say, like, I don't even recognize myself from when I first started doing this work. It's just the beauty of all this. So I did my amends. The second time around, I had not that many to do because I really did pretty thorough the first time. And step 10 is, I do a step 10 every night. And I actually do it on my computer, but I think I'm going to change that. And I heard somebody saying that they write it. And I do, I think it's very different when we write something by hand than when we do something on a computer. But I do everything out of the big book. Honestly, like I look at, was I resentful? Was I afraid? Everything. And I write it down. And when I worked with my new sponsor, she said, you have to be rigorously honest in this 10th step. And I've written stuff and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe I'm still doing these things that are not nice to other people, or I have bad thoughts or whatever it is. But it just gives me the opportunity to recognize that again, right? And ask God to help me with my character defects. And it's a daily thing. And then the next day I can start out with like, okay, God, like yesterday I was selfish, or yesterday I was gossiping, whatever it is. Please today, help me show up kindly. So I think this, that our 10th step is really, really important. And step 11, I do all the time. That's our prayer and meditation. I do the morning piece, and then I do during the day. I just kind of remind myself to touch base with God. And sometimes it's just like, hey God, like I'm here. And asking God what's my assignment for the day? Like what am I supposed to be doing? Because if I'm running the show, it's not good. And just again, it's every day asking God like for direction and turning our will over. So that's every day I have to remind myself, because I struggled the first time around. Like I didn't give my will over, and I want to take my will back sometimes because I think I know what to do, but I don't. So that's important. And then of course our last step, right? And we have to do all the, like, we can't decide which steps we want or stop. And it's, for me, I feel like I did the steps with my big book sponsor really quickly. I did them in like 3 months. And I don't know, I just feel like that's the way to do it. I feel like when they first started AA, they did the steps like in a weekend. And I just feel, and the big book tells us just keep going, So for me personally, I like that way. Other people might not, but I like that. I thought it was really good just to get down, get everything done, and then continue to work. And then we get this power that we're waiting for from God to keep us abstinent, and life gets easier, so that I think probably everything that I talked about was my spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. And then carrying the message. And that's not just, not just sponsoring. There's so much we could carry the message in a share, a lead, And or just, in our outreach calls, sometimes I'll call somebody and they'll say, can you do 10 with me? Or, I'm struggling. So we just like need to show up the way that God wants us to show up, right? Everything that we've learned in this program about doing the right thing, becoming a better human, being honest, learning to be humble, learning to be vulnerable. There's just, I feel like, this was the guide to life that I miss. Like I didn't have this book when I was young. I just like life was crazy and got crazier and everything got out of control. And here I am 12 years later. But I do want to put a plug in for sponsorship because I do think that's so important. Oh, my pet peeve is when people say I'm going to sponsor, when I'm ready. There's no ready. Like finish the steps and start sponsoring because the sponsoring piece is what keeps us going, right? Like like the way I do it, I go through the big book with another person and I'm going through the steps with another person. So I am doing this over and over and over again. And every time I do that, my program is getting stronger, and I can't help everybody. Like some people are going to come and not do the program or they're, I've worked with people that just couldn't be honest and this is not working if we're not honest. But it's just to continue and, and I describe my life before program of like this black hole. And now I feel like I've like so much joy and happiness, and my life's not perfect, and things go wrong. I still do work in my therapy because I feel like outside stuff needs outside help. But I'm happy, and I do my five gratitudes every night before I go to bed. And I don't know. I just, whoever's new today, I'm just so glad that you're here. And there's nothing special about me. I didn't do anything extraordinary. I just followed somebody else's steps. They did the work and they were abstinent and, found a power and here I am. So I will pass on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christina.